Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I greet you all. It's been really a blessing so far in the service, and I've been very blessed. Thank you, John, for that children's lesson in thoughts, guarding our thoughts and who we are, and making sure our thoughts are in Christ, Christ-centered. That's something for us adults, very, very much for me, that I can apply to. So, amen. Also, Brad, I really appreciate the opening this morning. That was really a blessing to have our lives on Christ and to let Him control us. Sometimes we want to take control of our lives and we think we're going to figure it out and we think life is going to go this way. And God comes in and says, no, I have something very, very different for you in mind. So, and that's when we need to submit our hearts. And that's not always easy to do. And I found that out myself, that sometimes things are out of control in our lives. So I don't think we have any visitors here. Is it, anyway, if we do, if I miss some greeting to you, thanks for all for coming out this morning. I'm really glad to be here this morning. I guess I'm sounding okay. I had quite a week Thursday. Thursday night, I was changing a light bulb at my house, and I got up on this coffee table to change his light bulb. It was about a 16-inch coffee table I had made, and it flipped out from underneath me. I fell straight down, hit my head right on the edge of the coffee table, and I just about passed out. I was in so much pain, bleeding and laying there, just ran to the kitchen, and my wife was like, how did you do that? And she was like, what, like, man, I was in so much pain. I took ibuprofen, and for the last 2-3 days, my nose has been hurting a lot. I don't think I broke it, but it's been a lot of pain. And then Friday evening to New Saturday, I've kind of been having this head cold, and I was praying on yesterday and today and Friday also that I would be 100% this morning. God would heal me in everything, and here I am. So, wow, I praise God for that. I kept thinking, I'm going to call Jason or Steve or something, but I don't think I can do this. And God kept saying, you'll be fine. Trust me. So, praise God, here I am. And I bless God for that. While we were, many of you know we were, all of you probably know that we were in Greece October. For us it was August through October, August, September, and October. And while we were in Greece, we spent a lot of time in the Book of John. The Book of John became very precious to me and to John. We went through it chapter by chapter, teaching it to the refugees. And in the course of that, I got to appreciate anew and afresh many, many of the teachings of Jesus there. And the Book of John, if you ever studied it or read it, it's incredibly powerful. It's amazing. And there's so much in there that Jesus speaks, so much, so many words of life, so much deep truths, that so much the heartbeat of Jesus when He came to earth. And so I'm going to preach from the Book of John this morning. And it's full. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, the life. He said that He is the bread of life. He said He is the fountain of life. He said that He is the water of life. There's many things that we can learn from Jesus. But I'd like to focus on Jesus, the bread of life, this morning. Jesus, our bread of life. And this is kind of almost a progression of, kind of really goes well, very well with last week, Jason. Being a healthy church, being a healthy body, walking in Christ. This is kind of a continuation, maybe, of that. Jesus, our bread of life. And go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 for our opening text. I'd like to look at this here, chapter 6. And we're going to be reading a lot from the Book of John this morning. And we're also going to be jumping around to different places. But a lot of this will come from John chapter 6. Jesus, our bread of life. I'd like to also say this message is not necessarily for just a single group of people this morning. This is for everybody. This is for the whole church. This is for the young people here. This is for the you that were in children's lesson, this, you can learn a lot from this. This is for us fathers very much, us mothers. This is for the older people. This is for all of us across the board. This is going to be very good for us. The bread of life. So John chapter 6, let's break in verse 35. John 6, let's read 35 to 40. Jesus speaking here. John chapter 6, 35 to 40. And Jesus said unto them, to the people, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he had given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So, this is Jesus speaking to the people here. He's saying, I am the bread of life. You know, today Jesus Christ can be our bread of life. Is he your bread of life this morning? Just a question, why did Jesus call himself the bread of life? Anybody, just call it out. It's a simple question. Why did Jesus call himself the bread of life? It's not a tricky question. How is he the bread? Anybody? Sustains our life. Very good. Anyone else? He is the food for us. Thank you, Clarence. Yes. Anyone else? How is he our bread? Amen. Right. Thank you, John. He truly satisfied. Amen. Those are all good answers. You know, back in the Bible times, bread would have been an essential part of the food back then. Bread was vital. And when Jesus came and said, I am the bread of life, I believe he was saying, I am the source of satisfying of that bread that you need. My body that I gave to you by dying on the cross, this is what you need to have life. I am the bread of life. Another way of saying it is, without my death on the cross, you cannot have life. That's what he was trying to tell the people. Without my suffering, without my death, without you trusting in me for your salvation, you cannot have life. I want to do a little bit of a background in this chapter just to help us understand the context of everything. We're going to go back to chapter 6 at the beginning. And we're going to look a little bit of the context of why Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. So in chapter 6, the beginning there, we know the miracle of the 5,000. Jesus, one of the greatest miracles he did, the people were all coming to him by the Sea of Galilee. They were hearing his fame was going abroad everywhere. People wanted to hear Jesus, so they all came. You know, he's a new prophet. We're going to see this great man who can do all these things. And then we know the story. The little shepherd boy came with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus did the miracle. He multiplied it and did a great, an incredible miracle there to the people. And after that, he did that. They wanted to make him king. I'm just going right through without reading chapter 6. They wanted to make him king. And he said, nope, none of this. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. I am part of a heavenly kingdom. And he went into a mountain, and there he rested. And after he was up in the mountain, his disciples decided to go to Capernaum. And there was a storm, and Jesus walks out to the storm and calms the water. He went out there, verse 20, said, in his eyes, do not be afraid. And then they came to Capernaum. And so, to keep going, the people weren't happy that he left. So, they decided, I'm just moving through chapter 6 because of all the reading we have. I don't want to read chapter 6. So they said, well, we're going to go find him in Capernaum. So they said, it says they went a-shipping. It actually says they went to look for boats. They weren't happy they couldn't find Jesus, so they found ships, and they came over to Capernaum to find Jesus, and there they found him. And so we're going to break in again in verse 26. Go to John 6:26. I'm going to read some verses there. So they found Jesus, and here's what they said. Here's what they came to him. I'll actually start in verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. Okay, I'm going to park right there for a little bit. Verse 26. So Jesus rebuked them. So they came and they looked for him. And Jesus said, I know why you guys are here. You really don't want to hear me. You came because you were filled. You just care about the bread that I made. You don't really care about the words that I have. Verse 26. He seek me not because he saw the miracles, but because he eat of the loaves and were filled. So Jesus had a rebuke for them. They were seeking him for the wrong reasons. They just wanted the bread. They were hungry. It seemed like they were looking for the physical stuff. They wanted the physical side of things. Verse 27. And then he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. So, let's park right there again. For him had God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Okay, let's stop right there. So, how many times do we labor for the meat which perisheth? Wow, that's really good. That's really good to think about. Jesus rebuked them and says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. I think many times we labor for the meat which perisheth, right? And he rebuked them for that. You know, this is a challenge for us very, very much to not labor for the meat which perisheth. You know, here in America, it's very easy for us to labor for the meat which perisheth. We have our jobs, we have our homes, we have our businesses, we have all those things. But here Jesus, I believe this is a wonderful point, that God does not want us to just seek for that physical bread. He wants us to go and seek that spiritual bread. That's really what his heart was here. Not just for his people. He wanted to try to show his people that he is the bread of life to them. He can be a spiritual person to them. And it's the same way with us here, young person. God wants you to seek him. God wants you to give your whole life to him. And to not just labor for the meat which perisheth. Beautiful example. And we have so much in this country, and we are so blessed in this country. We have so many things that we could give to the rest of the world. And I want to bring a balance to this. God wants us to work. He wants us to provide for our needs. 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man provide not for his own house, he is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. So the Bible does want us to work, to get up, to labor, to provide for our families. 2 Thessalonians 3, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I think this is good to read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There's some verses there I'd like to look at. Second Thessalonians 3:10-11. Okay. So this is Paul writing here to the Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 3:10. Let's start in verse 10, chapter 3. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Okay. If any would not work, neither should he eat. So here, Paul is writing. He was lifting up the idea of working. If you're not going to work, you shouldn't eat. Work is a good thing. Work is important. And I believe we need to apply that. Work is important. We need to work to sustain ourselves, to provide for our families. That's spiritual. This is biblical, to work. But how can we balance all this living in America? Some thoughts. I know this is a challenge for us. Let's look at our life and let's base our decisions on the Word of God. We have the Word of God. What is God asking you to do? I really appreciate the opening. Where's Brad? There's Brad. Thank you. Are we trying to take control of our lives, or are we giving it to God and saying, God, here's my life. You take control of it. I believe this ties together very beautifully with this. If you're wondering what the balance is in all this, seek God. Ask God to show you. I know I've had to do that in my life, is to, Lord, what about this decision? What about purchasing this thing I've wanted to purchase for a while? Is this carnal? Is this your will? I believe God will show us. If we come in an open heart, maybe ask counsel to your brother. We have each other. What do you think God wants of this? What do you think God has me? I think in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And I believe God wants us to look at it like that, to balance everything. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Wow. Good verse. Laboring for the meat which perisheth. You know, sometimes we measure life by, maybe we see a successful man or successful business, and we think, wow, this is where it's at. You know, Jesus doesn't measure success on that. He does not. Jesus looks everything through spiritual eyes. The spiritual things that he wants us to pursue. And again, it's not wrong to have those things, but we have to remember to beware of covetous things. Okay, so let's keep going. John 6. Let's go back to the book of John 6, and let's break in verse 28. John 6, 28. So he told them, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Okay, so then they came back at him. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou again, that we may see thee and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So here they came to him and they said, how can we believe you? How can we believe that you're the Messiah? And what sign showest thou? Show us a sign that you're Jesus. We want to see a sign. And I just can't believe that they would ask this again. These were the same people who Jesus had done a miracle to them already at the feeding of the 5,000, right? These are the same people. They crossed the river and they came to him. They're asking for another sign. They still don't want to believe him that he is Jesus, that he is God. Wow. I was amazed that, studying this, that once again reminded that they did not believe in him. It's like, wow. These are really a hard people. But you know, sometimes we can be hard too and miss stuff. They told him, you know, what sign do you give us? Moses gave us bread. They went back to Moses. He gave us bread. And Jesus rebuked them and said, actually, no, Moses didn't give you that bread. God gave you this bread from heaven. And now God is giving you me from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the true bread that you guys need. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He's like, I am the bread that you guys need. Again, Jesus extended his arm to them. He told them, And then that's where it keeps going in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Still the people, they would not accept him. It seems like going through this chapter, they were always questioning him, coming back at him. And then they were going back to Moses and to the Old Testament. Well, God gave us his bread. And they were not believing on him. And it's amazing, through this chapter, Jesus mentioned that he's the bread of life 3 times. And he alluded to it twice, that he's the bread of life. Very, very clear that he's the bread. And still they would not accept him. So maybe some of them believed. But at the end of the chapter, we'll see just how many. Okay, so let's get practical with this. I have 5 points I'd like to go over that I'd like to talk about in Jesus being our bread of life. 5 points I'd like to talk about and that we can apply to our lives. Point number one, is Jesus your daily bread today? Am I feeding on the bread of life today? Am I spending time in the Word of God today, personally? Every day, as much as we can. Am I walking with the Lord? Or am I settling for the junk food, Brother Jason, that makes us weak, right? Talked about the junk food. Beautiful message last Sunday. Being healthy, a strong, vibrant church here at Joy. Am I feeding on the right things in my life today? I think it's very important, it's very critical that we feed on the bread of life, the living bread, every single day. 1 John 6:10, if you want to turn there. Book of 1 John. 1 John 1. First John chapter 1. I'd like to read some verses here. 1 John 1, 6 to 10. It's very important that we have the living bread for our own selves. Why is it important? Because we walk together, and the flesh can be flesh. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we will walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and His truth is not in us. Wow, look at this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. If we're walking in the light with God, we have fellowship with Him, and we have fellowship with one another. These markers work. Okay, so I want to do a little, this is a very simple illustration here, but I'd like to do it. So here we have, let's go down a little bit. So here we have God up here, just an illustration. This is you. And this is, you can fill in the blank, this is your brothers. And I like this illustration. I saw it once and I always think about it. This is, if we're fellowshipping with God here, and we're fellowshipping with our brothers here, this makes a beautiful picture. In Christ, if we're connected to Christ, and we're connected with our brothers, and there's a flow between everything, that's beautiful in the church. If you take this away, what happens? We start walking the flesh, right? Very, very quickly. I do. I start walking the flesh very fast. And things don't go very good. At work, maybe in the church, maybe in home relationships, maybe with your mother-in-law or your sister-in-law. Things can go very quickly in a direction that we don't want them to go, right? Very, very quickly. So we have to go back to Him to find our our peace and our grace and love and joy and everything that God gives us. Just simple illustration, but really, really good. I really like it. When I saw it, I've never forgotten it and have it in my mind a lot. The flow of how we flow to our brothers. So, amen. We have fellowship one with another. Am I gathering fresh bread every morning? Let's go to Exodus 16. Some of you probably know where I'm going, but this is an illustration that we've heard many times, but it's very, very beautiful. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus. Okay, breaking in here in Exodus 16, verse 16. Exodus 16, 16. And we are going to read down to verse 22. This is the manna from heaven, bread from heaven that God sent. And God had sent manna to the children of Israel. And here's what they commanded. This is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was very wroth with them. And they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun melted, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So, okay, so God sent manna from heaven, from above. And Moses said, go out every morning and gather this manna, and you'll have bread. But some of them decided, here in verse 20, Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to gather extra bread so I can have it for the next day. And here's what happened. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. It stank. They got it. They didn't trust him, and they got too much of it. I think there's a spiritual picture here. The Old Testament has many beautiful spiritual pictures you can take. And sometimes you don't try to apply them, but I think this one is really beautiful. God wants us to gather fresh bread every morning. He really does. It's beautiful. Every morning they came, they saw the bread, they gathered it, and they had it. It was sweet. The Bible says it was sweet. You know, that's a beautiful picture for us men, leaders in our homes. Gather that fresh bread every morning. You know, things are going to start stinking if we don't. So it stank. The stuff that they tried to go for the next day started stinking. You know, really, spiritually, if we don't gather that fresh bread for our families, things are going to start stinking. They are. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay tuned to the Word of God so that we can have that wonderful fellowship with each other, with our families, with God. I think it's a beautiful picture that we can have. Let's gather that fresh bread for our families every morning. Point number two, we already talked about this, but again, am I constantly laboring for the meat which perisheth? And again, we touched on this one already. In John, again, going back to John chapter 6, this is a rebuke to them, or a warning against them to not labor for the meat which perisheth. And again, I'm just trying to bring a perspective on these verses. Am I building a kingdom? A good question to ask. Am I building a kingdom here on earth without having God's kingdom in perspective? I think it's very important in our daily lives, what we do, where we go, that we have God's kingdom in perspective while we're working, while we're living. Do I look at the world through Jesus' point of view or through my own heart? Like we heard this morning, are we trying to take control of our lives, Instead of giving it to God and saying, God, you take control of my life. You lead me. Good question to ask. Am I laboring for the meat which perisheth? Keep that in mind. Point number three. Moving on. I want to talk to the fathers. I'm just curious here at Joy. How many, I know it's quite an amount, how many fathers do we have with maybe children under 10 or under 12? Children under 12. How many fathers do we have here? Wow. That's a lot. It's amazing. We have a lot of young families, and we're blessed. We have a lot of young couples here at Joy that are having a lot of young children. And I thought of this point as I was preparing this. Point number three is this. Fathers, are we feeding our family bread from Christ's table? Are we feeding our families bread from Christ's table? Again, we need to be feeding on that living bread, right? But we also, it's not enough, right? Our brother Mike, it's not enough to just feed ourselves. Our families need to be fed spiritually. And I have a lot to learn in this. And I think it's very important that we feed them bread from Christ, from the Word of God, that we fill them from God's Word. You know, the world has bread to offer too, right? The world has things to offer, many things to offer. And the world is not very shy about its things it has to offer. I mean, it's there. You don't have to go very far. It's on the billboards. It's at Walmart. It's all over. And we have to be the priests and the leaders in our home to make sure that they're getting the spiritual bread that they need. You know, it may look good, young people. The world's bread may look good, but believe me, in the end, it will not satisfy. It never does, and it never will. It might give you a little bit of pleasure for a season, but it will fade away, and you will be found empty. And like Brad shared a story this morning about the man that seemed to have his life in control, right? He had a retreat in New York he could go to. He had lots of money. He had all these things. Still not happy because it's never worked and it never will. The world will never make you happy. You'll always want more and you'll never be satisfied with the world. And as fathers, let's be the spiritual breadwinners. You know, we're breadwinners, right? We go out to work every day. We work hard. We bring home the money. But let's also bring home the spiritual bread to our children, to our families. And I am, by God's grace, as our family, I am trying to put some things in place and seeking God to be more effective, to be more attuned with Him, to be that spiritual breadwinner for my family, that they can grow up spiritual beings in Him. You know, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? What shall it profit the whole world? What shall it profit us if we gain the whole world and lose our children? Nothing. We lose it all. It's very important that we fathers, even for myself, we got our children's souls. And we make sure that they're fed spiritually. I'm not sure what you all do, what works for you, but what Sarah and I have started doing is we set times aside in the evening as a family. And that's our time with God. That's our time in the Bible. That's our time in the Word of God. And I want to give my boys something that they can take and grow and they can become strong men in Christ. And God is helping us. I'm very excited what's happening. Praise God. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? That means with tenderness and with love, we need to guide our children in love. Do it in love. Discipline your children in love. Teach them in love. Love is very powerful. Firm. We need to be firm, right? We need to be firm with them. We need to be leaders. But we also need to be loving. We need to be... And we have plenty of opportunities to do that as fathers. I really appreciate the example of Job in the Bible. What did Job do in the Bible? It says, when his children were feasting and partying and drinking, Job, it says he rose up early in the morning, right? He rose up early in the morning and sacrifice to them, to each of them, and pray to God that God would protect his children. Wow, that's beautiful to me. Job rose up in the morning, had a heart and a burden for his children. Well, that's what I want to do. That's a good example for us to look at the life of Job and see his beautiful example there in how he got up and prayed for them and cared for them. We can learn so much from that. Are we feeding our families bread from Christ's table? Point number four. I'd like to go into point number four. Am I sharing the bread of Christ to those around me? Am I sharing the bread of Christ to those people around me? And Brad had already alluded to that this morning a little bit. Sometimes we can be so busy with our own plans, our own dreams, our own things, that we can't hear from God because we're so busy doing our own thing. God can't speak to us. I know God can make a way. God sometimes hits us or puts something in our path, and we see God. But I believe we need to be in tune with Him and His Word so that we can reach others. That neighbor down the road, that guy that is right there, the guy we see at work every day. The openness, if God has an opening for you, you need to walk through those doors. And God will show you. You know, trust Him and give it to Him. Pray. God makes it clear. You know, when God called the first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, to Antioch, God calls missionary. God calls people. When God calls you, just be ready to walk through those doors. And again, maybe God is calling you. Maybe God will call you. And that's when we have to say, Lord, this is important, but doing your work is more important. And I will pursue that. Are we seeking the meat which perishes, or do we really, truly do care for the souls that are lost? How does that apply to your life? And listen to God. Pursue God. While we were in Greece, one of the times, I think it was about the middle of our time there, there was one of the guys came up, Hussein, and we had had quite a few people at the Bible study, and Bible studies were going fairly well. And one of the guys came up, the young man, and he said, Calvin, we have 5 new people from Egypt that want to come to the Bible studies. Is there any way you can bring them? And we were trying to figure out around that time what to do, because the van was full, the Bible studies were pretty full, and I wasn't sure if we could add 5 more people. So I said, Hussein, I don't know. Let me pray about it. Let me see. Let me talk to some other people about it, and we'll see what we can do. And we talked about it there with the staff, everybody, and we decided that with how maxed out we were, we just could not add 5 more people in the van. It just wouldn't work. I think it was 5 or 7. It was at least 5. I think there might have even been 7. 7 new ones. And we just decided it's just going to be too much. We'll put them down and bring them to a later date. But my point with this is there's people, the hunger that was there, there's people hungry for the Word of God. There's people hungry today for the bread of life. These people wanted to come and they wanted to hear about Jesus. They came and they wanted to hear who God is, and I never got to share with them. And it just hit me that I could never do that, and it bothered me. And you know, there are people, they are hungry for the bread of life. They are hungry for Jesus. They want to know about Jesus. We need to find those open doors, and we need to look for those opportunities. I happened to see statistics on suicide. Suicides are up across the country. 2017, 2018, the suicide rate has just gone up by thousands. People are, killing themselves. Why? Because they don't have the bread. They don't have Jesus. They don't have His life. So let's look for those opportunities, and let's look for those people that we can share Christ with. Are we a light to those around us? Jesus told us to be a light to the world. Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But back to this. Maybe you're sitting here and you don't know where God has you. You don't know where God is calling you. You're like, well, I'm just here, Calvin, I'm doing my job. I want to go do this. Maybe you have a desire to go on a mission field. Maybe you have a desire to go and do this ministry. You know, my encouragement for you would be to pray, give it to God, see God, and give it to Him. Be open. God will give you an opportunity. He will, young person. It will come. It will come for you. If you pray, believing, seeking Him, God will open the door for you. We have so much, and we could spend a lot of time talking about how much we have, but we really do have, we have a goodly heritage here in Lancaster County. Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage." What are those lines? "The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." I believe these lines that it's talking about here in Psalms is the boundaries. Lines are boundaries. It says the boundaries, my boundaries are fallen to me in pleasant places. Our stage of life, where when he wrote this, where I land up, I find myself in a very pleasant place. I find myself with God. And I believe he's talking about the condition of life we're in. And truly, all of us living here in Lancaster County, couldn't we say our lives are falling in pleasant places, right? We have a goodly heritage. A lot of us grew up in, maybe everything wasn't quite right in your home, but we grew up in a Christian home, and we were taught the Word of God. We were taught the Bible. And we were given a good heritage. And there's a lot of people who, they know nothing. They know almost zero about Jesus, about the gospel, about anything. And some of us have seen with our own eyes and have like experienced that. And that's why Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and keep our priorities in Christ. Again, point number four was, are we sharing the bread of Christ with those around us? Let's be a church, a Joy Christian Fellowship that does that. Let's be a church that lifts up Jesus where we are, and that people would know those are the people that have Jesus. Point number five. Am I going to walk with Jesus all the way? Let's go to John again, chapter 6, verse 66. Read there. John 6, verse 66. Okay, so reading here, end of the chapter. So Jesus repeated again that he said it many times, that he's the bread of life. Just touching here again, verse 47, I'm going to read, you don't have to turn there. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me had everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So Jesus is saying, I am the bread. I am your life. Believe in me. And we have believed in him here. I trust God. We are trusting in Jesus for our salvation. We are walking the light that he's given us. But I have this question. Am I going to keep walking with Jesus all the way? Your son Andrew gave his life to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I get excited when I hear of a young person in our church or anywhere else that at a young age decides they are going to follow Jesus. They are going to make Jesus their way. And that gets me really excited. Nothing gets me quite as excited as that. Because that is the way to go. You will save yourselves many, many heartaches. Young person here, feed on Jesus. Feed on the bread of life. I regret, as a young person, not feeding on the bread of life more. You will never be disappointed. It will never leave you hungry. It will never leave you thirsty. I can assure you. I can promise it.
that this will happen and walk with Jesus all the way. This chapter has a really sad ending. Verse 66, John 6, verse 66, reading there. Let's break in at verse 66, John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will he also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, it's sad. Jesus, didn't Jesus preach his heart out? Right? He did. I was thinking of the scene at the temple. And Jesus, it was the last day, the great day of the feast. It says Jesus got up and what did he do? He cried out. He says, he cried out that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus got desperate. He got up there and he waited for the last day. The Bible says it was the last day. Why was it the last day? I believe Jesus, he knew it was the last day. And he's got to tell these people once again that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And man, he was just like, guys, you're not getting it. And also in John chapter 6, he repeatedly said he's the bread of life, and they would not follow him. Verse 66, his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said, will you also go away? And here Peter says, no, we believe that you are the Lord, you are the Messiah, the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, this is for maybe you, a young person. Maybe you're Jesus is knocking at your door this morning. Maybe you're at that age and God wants you to give your heart to Him. I would encourage you, it's not a scary thing. It's not something you need to be afraid of. God wants to dwell with you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Father. And He wants to bless your life. And these people turned away. They rejected Him. And it says they went away. After they had even seen the miracles that He did, they still rejected Him. And I would encourage you, don't reject Christ. If He's knocking, don't reject Him. Open the door. Open your door to Him. And the same goes with us. If God is asking us to do something, to give something up, let's not reject Christ. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. Jesus extended His arm to them. Just in closing here, summarizing all this, on Jesus being our bread and our life fountain. Again, I talk to the young people, to all of you, us young couples. Let's follow the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Fathers and mothers, let's teach our children that Jesus is the bread of life, so that they can grow up, like we heard last Sunday, to be healthy people in the church, not sick among us and struggling and stumbling and finding their way. Let's be healthy in Christ. Fathers, let's be the spiritual breadwinners for our children. I have three boys, and I want to be their spiritual breadwinner. I want to be their spiritual leader. I want to guide them into truth. So I can say, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Amen. And all of us fathers want that. You mothers, I was thinking of the mothers this morning with this. You have lots of time at home to train your children, to give them the word of life. And I'm sure you are. But let's take those opportunities while dad's at work. There's other things we can do that could fill that time, right? But I think it's the most important that we give them the spiritual life that they need and guide them towards spiritual things that they need instead of the physical. There's place for the physical, but we really need to keep focus on the spiritual so that when they grow up, they can make good, healthy, wise choices in Christ. The older men here, you know, teach us your wisdom. Us young men, we have not, you know, an older man, they have been through things in life that we have not.
And they're able to look back and see things that we can't see. And, you know, teach us your wisdom. And I think this can be a very healthy balance in the church. And I want to bless the older men in our church here, Joy, the elders, and the older men who I look up to, who have given me counsel, who have given me wisdom. I really value that, and I appreciate that, and I want that in my life. And I'm sure all of us do. But keep that up, keeping that good example to us, and putting us towards Jesus, putting us towards Christ. And you are. You know, we, like I said, you can see things which we haven't seen because we're also on a journey of life. But the advantage you have is you can look behind and see where things went. So, we can all learn from each other and we can help each other and walk together in fellowship one with another. So I hope this was a blessing. In summary, I want to encourage all of us to keep going. Would the joy of the Lord be here at Joy Christian Fellowship? Would we partake of that bread of life every day? Would we get up in the morning? Would we seek that fresh manna from above? As men, as leaders, would we guide our families spiritually? Would we be that breadwinner in our home? Would we be a light to the world? Will we give that bread to those around us? Will we go where God calls us to give the bread of Jesus Christ to all the people? That's my challenge this morning. And again, this is for everybody. You young people, if Jesus is knocking at your door, He can be your sustainer. He can be your bread of life today. And let's pray. And then I'm going to hand the time over to Brother Gary. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are our bread of life this morning, God. And Lord, I pray, Father, I know, God, I have failed you. We have failed you, God, I'm sure, in many, many areas, Lord. I pray, God, that you would have mercy on us where we failed you. I pray we could be that bread of life. God, to our families, we could partake of your bread. I pray that we would lead our families, God, in that bread of life. I pray that it would become more precious to us, God, as in our own Christian lives, Lord. I pray that we would not reject you, God. If there's a young person here, Lord, who's seeking you, I pray that they, God, could accept you, Lord, as the Savior and as the Son of the living God, that they could feed on the bread of life and accept you, Lord. And I pray, God, if you are calling us to a calling, that we could be faithful to you, God. Like we heard this morning, Lord, from the opening, that God, you are in control of our lives. Really, we are not in control. God, would your will be done, God, not ours. And I pray, Father, that we could, if you are not in our hearts, God, that we could give the reins of our hearts back to you and live our lives looking at life through the eyes of Jesus. That we could look at life through a spiritual perspective, through the heavenly kingdom, not this earthly kingdom, God. I pray, Lord, that we would not labor for the meat which perisheth, but that we could labor for the meat that gives life eternal. I pray that for everybody here at Joy, that for myself, God, that we would have our gaze on the heavenly kingdom more and more as we see the day approaching, God. We trust you, God, that your word will bring forth life this morning. And we bless you. We thank you. Thank you for health, God. Thank you for strength. Thank you, God, for being our bread. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, turn the time over to Gary.
All right. Are there any comments about the message?
I really appreciated the message, Calvin. Thank you for sharing with us. I feel like the Lord met with us. And just not only Calvin's message, but Brad and John and just see the assets that we have in our body, these young men who are seeking after the Lord and walking with Christ, and just the beautiful assets that we have here. And I just bless you all, and we have a lot to be thankful for here at Joy.
Thank you, Calvin, for lifting up the feeding on the Word of God. That was a blessing. I thank you too for just encouraging us, and by the way of us fathers, taking what we hear from God and sharing it with our family. I like that picture of how the children of Israel were told to do that for their families. You know, get the manna, have enough for every person in their house, and just a real good picture of how we as parents need to be doing that for our children, providing for them spiritually like that. And it blesses me, and I know God is pleased that young families here are doing that with your children. I think it's need of the day, especially with all the different influences that we have in the home. Young children being, children and youth being pulled all kinds of directions with the influences that we have. And we just need to be diligent as fathers to feed them the Word of God and lift up Jesus in our homes. And it's been a blessing, and it's a blessing when your children come to you and say, Daddy, you're going to have family devotions this morning. And, maybe the schedule's a little bit whacked up a little bit, maybe it gets crazy sometimes and you think, well, we could almost skip that this morning because we got to keep going, And you see the disappointment when your boy comes and says, hey, we didn't have devotions this morning. And that's a good thing. You know they love it, and it's just rewarding, when you can share with them and they enjoy hearing those Bible stories and sharing from God's Word like that. So just want to encourage all of us to do that, as Calvin, shared already, but just reiterate that it is a blessing to see that, and I'm glad God is doing that in your life, Calvin, and may He do it for all of us and teach us how important that is. So thank you.